Good evening, everybody. This is Annie Chipetta. We are here for the Behind Our Eyes book launch for March 2026 with author Clenell Anthony. We all know Clenell as Nell, but we're going to use her official name tonight. So welcome, everyone. And we also have her person her another author, Victoria Juergens. She's going to be interviewing Nell. So I'm going to read a little short bio for each one, and then Nell and Victoria will get started. So Clenell Anthony is a romance and romanticy author. She's dedicated to crafting emotionally driven stories that blend character-centered conflict with immersive world building. She holds an MFA in creative writing from Lesley University, where she focused on narrative structure, voice, and story arc. Her work spans contemporary romance, romanticy, short fiction, and creative nonfiction, with pieces published in multiple anthologies and literary magazines. Clenell is currently drafting a romantic thriller slated for release in 2026 while revising several manuscripts. As a legally blind writer, she approaches craft with immersive sensory detail, internal landscape, and emotional resonance. She is committed to continued growth within the romance genre and to building stories that center upon transformation, vulnerability, and love. Okay, Victoria Juergens is an award-winning author, storyteller, and creative encourager who believes in the transformative power of stories to connect us to our roots, inspire resilience, and spark creativity. Whether she's uncovering the untold stories of the German-Russian diaspora or crafting children's stories that celebrate imagination, courage, imagination and courage, or inspiring fellow writers to embrace their creative journeys, her work is about honoring the past, celebrating the present, and encouraging the creation of something beautiful for the future. I love that.
Thank you.
All right. All
All
right,
right.
ladies, take it away.
Thank you. I'm so excited that Nell invited me to be a her interviewer. And I've known Nell for quite a few years now. We got started way back when we had both joined the Story Cartel, which is now called The Right Practice. And she could understand the one story I had been writing, and seemingly no one else understood. So that was my introduction into what's in my head isn't always on the page, but she could see through that, and we became fast friends to the point where we call each other writing sisters. So her book is called Fractured. And it's a gripping tale of love, danger, and triumph. In the pulsating thriller Fractured, Samira, or Sam as we call her, Mathers, builds and battles an abusive past, a relentless ex-fiancé, and unexpected love. When Josiah, we'll call him Cy, Romero enters her life, a delicate dance begins, weaving together danger and desire. Will their budding romance survive a haunting pursuit that threatens to shatter everything? Brace yourself for a heart-pounding journey of resilience and passion. Fractured is a must-read for those seeking a gripping narrative that transcends adversity and sweeps the reader into love and a happily ever after you won't want to miss. What we've decided is we're going to have Nell read a chapter of that book for this book launch, and then we'll go into our question and answers. I'll interview her. Take it away, Nell.
Okay. I'm going to start with chapter two. I'm just going to read the last part of chapter two and all of chapter three. So here we go. Chapter two, Too Tired. Sam. Are you Sam? Asked the smooth baritone. I looked up and nearly swallowed my tongue. He was gorgeous, even with the curly punk rocker hair, unevenly shooting out in all directions. He had a scruffy thing going on with his cheeks, jaw, and chin, but still the man was beautiful. I packed away my iPad and grabbed my gym bag, briefcase, and purse. He stared at me out of almond-shaped, moss-green eyes as if he'd never seen a woman before. His eyes were surrounded by long, thick black lashes any woman would fight to have. He looked like some kind of hero on the cover of a romance novel. Maybe shopping in Walmart wasn't so bad after all. Chapter Three, Scavenger Hunt. Sigh. Sigh, they need you at customer service. There's a blind customer who needs help shopping. Sarah's voice came through tinny on the walkie-talkie. Sarah hates me. She has to, I muttered, taking the radio off my belt. What's the customer's name? I asked. Sam. Roger that, I replied, feeling my stomach roll. I was hired to stock shelves and unload incoming trucks, not deal with customers I didn't like. I didn't like being around people much anymore. Nor did I like being touched. Sarah knew it too. So why the hell was she sending me to deal with some blind guy that was going to have to hold my elbow or shoulder the whole time to get around the store? I wanted to tell Sarah to ask someone else, but thought better of it. As I headed toward the front of the store, I tried to remember what the VA shrink exact words were the last time I'd gone to a session. I remember it was something like, the more I interacted with people, the better I'd get. A shrink? Going to see a shrink? I grinned to myself. Now there was an irony. I just have to accept my fate for the next hour or so. I wondered if the guy was smart enough to have a list, or if we were going to play it by ear. The last blind guy I helped around the store clung to my arm so hard I had a couple of bruises and indentations in my skin afterwards. My mistake had been to admit to Sarah that I had a problem with being touched and ask her to assign blind people to someone else. Had that stopped her from requesting I help customers who had to touch me? No, of course not. It just made her call me nearly every time we had a blind person come in while I was on shift. I wondered if Sarah always called me just to see if I'd flip out and have an episode. I'd had one before when a load of boxes fell off the back of one of the trucks. I dropped to the ground and dragged another stock boy with me, screaming, "Get down!" at the top of my lungs and pulling myself and the terrified stock boy away to find cover. Yep, that was one of the best days of my life. I looked down at my hands, trying to gauge their steadiness, and breathed deeply, like the shrink taught me. Hell, I was going to school to be a combat counselor, but I couldn't help some guy around the store without worrying about the way it felt to be touched. This was so going to suck. When I stepped up to the customer service section, I only saw one person waiting. It was a woman, a beautiful woman. Her eyes were looking down at the screen of the biggest iPad I'd ever seen in my life. Her finger was clicking away at tiny keys as she muttered to herself, and her glossy black hair was up in a braided bun. Her shoulders were delicate, and it was evident that she worked out. She had toned legs, a rounded, firm backside. I caught the words of one of the reps. "He's not asking her on a date." "Well, I hope not," the hottie said under her breath. I looked up at the rep and then back at the woman sitting with her fingers flying across the keys and gave a slight smile. The customer appeared completely focused on her work, but was answering the rep's comment. I shook my head in wonder at her ability to do that and decided to approach her. "Are you Sam?" I asked. When she looked up at me, I couldn't help staring. Her eyes were large, long-lidded, with a slight tilt up at the corners. Their color was indefinable. I couldn't quite tell if they were blue, gray, or green. They were a mixture of all three, with minute flecks of gold highlighting all that color. She had high cheekbones, a pointed and stubborn chin, and lush, full lips. They made me sweat with ideas of what they could do. She was a picture. Then the picture of lush sweetness was shattered when I watched her pick up the gym bag, which looked as if it weighed as much as she did, about a buck five, maybe a buck ten. Then came a briefcase that looked like it weighed about the same as the gym bag. Then came the purse that didn't look much lighter. Then the other two bags. How in the hell does she carry all that crap? I wondered as she lifted it all onto her shoulder, and those wide, long-lidded, exotic eyes lifted to mine. Her skin was nutmeg. God, I was starting to sound like some romantic poet, though no one else had to know but me. "Yes, I'm Sam," she said with a smile and placed her hands on the front of a cart. "And you are?" she asked. "I'm Sai. Do you need me to guide you?" Remembering at the last minute that she was supposed to be blind, she didn't look blind to me. Not really. "No, not really. If you pull the buggy, I can follow by holding the front of the cart." "All right. It was my lucky day, or maybe not." I wasn't really sure in that moment because I found myself wondering what it would be like to slide my fingers over the smoothness of her skin. She was one of the loveliest women I'd ever had the pleasure of spending time with. I figured I'd get to spend at least an hour with her. Before we started toward the food section of the store, she put her luggage, that was the only thing it could be called, into the bottom of the buggy and pulled a list, thank God, out of her purse. "I'm sorry that I have so much to get. I usually don't, but I just moved, so I'm trying to get it all filled up and filled in." "You don't have to apologize. At least you have a list." She smiled at me, and I nearly ran into another customer staring at her again. "Let's see the list." Sam handed it over, and we wound our way through the customers, beginning the scavenger hunt. Thank you.
I'm busy clapping and didn't have my audio on.
Thank you.
That was a perfect chapter to read. Perfect. You have such descriptive prose, and my heart really was racing, and I was smiling several times. I could just imagine the whole scene just rolling through.
No, wow, thanks.
So, is this a standalone book or is it a part of a series?
It's a part of a series. You can read, I guess right now you can read it as a standalone because I'm working on book two.
Okay. One thing I was wondering is, how do you know what title to use for a book? Fractured is a fascinating title, and I think of all kinds of things. I've seen the cover, so matches quite nicely, and I know it matches the story because I read your story. How did you pick that title?
What's really interesting is that it started out being the rescue. And then I was like, you know what? Sai has PTSD. And he's fractured in some ways. And then you have Sam who's trying to escape an ex-fiance who pretty much traumatized her. Mostly verbally at first, and then finally, when he hits her, when it culminates in being hit and abused physically, she decides that, she's leaving the relationship, and so she's fractured on that level. She's fractured in a lot of ways because she doesn't know if she can trust her own judgment. She's found out that the man that was supposed to love her evidently doesn't because he actually physically harmed her. And then you have the ex who is really quite nuts. So everybody's fractured. So, I was like, oh, that's a good title. And honestly, that's really, I was like, I was trying to think of one word that really, truly could describe everything that's going on in the book, and to me, Fractured does that.
That is fascinating. I like the way you describe those pieces. Okay, when you start writing a book, how do you go from just an idea into actually writing your book?
Oh, that's a complicated question. And the reason why I say that is because I actually wrote Fractured as a pantser. And so, we have pantser, which is people who actually just sit down and they call them discovery writers now. A long time ago, they were called pantsers. And people still use the word pantser, but it's pretty much you just start writing and you keep going and until you get the whole book out, right? But the problem with that is you have no roadmap. You have no map at all. And so I kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting. It took me 2 years to write Fractured. And so I was like, I never again, I will never write a book from just an idea again. I will have an outline. And ever since my last, I'd say four books, I've used an outline. So, yeah.
Yes, I remember that journey through that. I think you're turning me into kind of. I'm still going to keep my discovery writer, but I'm doing a little bit of outlining. So that's another piece of inspiration that you've given to me.
Oh, thanks.
When you start with an outline, do you start with the outline or do you start with the characters?
I start with my characters. I am, all of my books are character driven. I really like to get to know my characters. I answer all my little questionnaires about the characters. I give them their features. I have like a little character Bible, actually I call it character profiling, but I mean, literally there's, I have their family members. I have them. I have their wounds, they're happy, what makes them happy, what's their quirks, everything you can think of that kind of you can learn about a character I have in that particular file on them. And then, like I said, the associated people with them, their best friends, their family, their sidekick, stuff like that. Like, for instance, right now with one of my characters, I have he's a gang leader, so like all the his paid cops are on my list for him. Everybody that's associated with him and all the reach that he has is right there in his character profile. So yeah.
That's so cool because that's I like developing characters myself. Thank you for that. Do your characters ever hijack the story that you have outlined?
On a regular basis. I often am like, dude, give me back my story. Yes, they hijack my story. I recently found out that one of my characters, no, well, Serico, he is my gang leader in Friction, which is book two of the Blind Love series. And he has completely hijacked my story. I have had to take it back from him several times.
So, in that sense, when you're wrestling with your characters, do you ever choose to change the story or like your outline a little bit or the story so that you can capture that? Or you,
Yes.
yeah.
Primarily for my main characters. Serico is a side character. So like, for instance, in Fractured, there were times when Sam would say something and I'm like, hey, I didn't tell you to say that. And, but I mean, I would let her go with it because, sometimes letting them take over the story is just as important as taking it back from them because, it is their story. It's regardless of the fact that I came up with the idea, it's their story. So, sometimes you have to give them a little leeway. But if you don't take it back, there has to be balance because if you don't take it back, they'll take you on a wild goose chase. You might not get your story back. So.
It sounds like you may have had a bit of experience with that.
Yes.
So, that's where your outline would really make a difference, wouldn't it?
Yes, especially like on those days when I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like it. I can get those days. I'm a writer, I'm moody, I'm an artist, so of course I'm moody. But that's no excuse not to sit down and put my butt in the seat. So I'll actually flip through my outline a little bit and see, hey, what do I want to work on today? And that will help. But some days when I don't feel like it, I let them take over, the characters take over, because then I don't have that much work to
That sounds like you almost have a set of people right there with you in your imagination. So
do.
when you said something about you sit down, you grab your outline, you look at what you want to work on, does that mean that you might jump a chapter or two ahead because it's just kind of calling out to you, I want to write this piece? Or do you write linearly so that chapter one and then chapter two and chapter three doesn't get started until two is done and four? How do you do that?
No. Actually, I remember this is where you come in. This was like, I remember working on I believe it was The Curse, and I was like, I can't get this chapter to work and blah blah blah, and I'm like freaking out because I didn't want to get stuck and I couldn't write. And I talked to my wonderful writing sister. And you were like, well, why don't you have an outline? Why don't you just go to another? Do you have to write a chronological order? And I was like, well, no, I don't. And ever since then, I have been able to jump around. So, and that opened a whole new way of writing for me because I try to do it linearly, like you said. Sometimes that can be very difficult because, I can't remember who said it, but he said, you know, if you wait for inspiration, you'll be waiting forever. You won't get anything done. I can't remember exactly who it was who said that. It's a famous author, one of the classic authors, as a matter of fact. And all I can think is, he's so right. So, you know, jumping around actually helps me not get stuck as easily, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that that worked. I do remember you doing that. I remember that conversation because I tend to just grab pieces and bits and just put them down as they come to me, and then I have the challenge of trying to get them to work out into something because I still don't do the total outline. I kind of do, well, this is where they start. This is where it's going to happen. And in between, there's going to be a big, miserable scene. That's my outline. So, those that do outlines, I admire you for doing that.
Thank
And yes,
you.
soon you will get me onto one of those. Anyways, there is something that you've been doing lately that totally inspires me, and I want to discuss that a little bit. You go online and you have an audio 7 days of the week. So you have your magical Mondays and your.
Tuesday
Can you
tips.
tell us a little bit more about them?
Yes. So initially I was trying to figure out how to do it, but I started trying to work on my store with Stan Store. And one of their challenges was to post 30 days, I mean all the way through Monday through Friday, 30 days consecutively for the whole 30 days. And if you do, you win a portion of a large sum of money. And so I was like, oh, I want to do this. So like I this that gave me incentive, the money gave me the incentive. But it's like once I started, I just really love it. 'Cause you know, I get to be a little creative. I have Magic Mondays, Tuesday tips, Wednesday wins, Thursday, oh no, In the Thick Thursdays, Finished Fridays, Snippet Saturdays, and Slow Ink Sundays. As you can tell, I love alliteration. And so what I do is I pretty much I do my scripts for the whole week, and then I record them like maybe on Saturday or Sunday. Sometimes I'll, you know, Monday or Tuesday, but I try to get them all done for the week, and then all I have to do is go post them. So that makes it a lot easier, life a little easier. So I like to do that. So it's fun, you know, I have my own music. I record, and then I post them to Instagram
And I have heard some of those, and they are brilliant. You can tell that you really enjoy that kind of work. And I find it
and
fascinating because so many times I see people with video, but your creativity comes through in spades with an audio, and your voice is perfect for it. So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
It'll take me a while before I get to that part, but you're kind of leading the charge in that vein. Have you found since you've started that the monetary gain may or may not be there, but there's been a whole different gain that you've achieved, something about that?
One of the things that I feel like I have achieved is it actually gave me a little more confidence with speaking. I'm not really keen on speaking in public. I know a lot of people think I'm okay with it, but I'm not. I'm actually very shy. But I do a pretty good job once I get started. You know, once you get me revved up, I could talk all day long. it takes a little while, but it does, it gives me a little more confidence. It gives me a chance to practice reading, reading aloud the way I did tonight. It also gives me a chance to practice with some of the different systems, because I didn't know how to do it. Initially, it took me 6 hours to figure it out the first night, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna be late!" And I was really upset. I was really worried that I was gonna be late for my first post, but I got it right in. I got it in right before midnight Eastern time, and then come to find out, I had until midnight Pacific time. So I would have had 3 more hours if I wouldn't have got it in. But I did get it in before, midnight, and I was very happy with myself, very pleased with myself. I kind of did a bit of a wiggle in the
Yeah.
chair. So yeah, it was it's really and it's sparked my creative juices too. I tend to be a little more creative. And I've learned some more like little tactics. Starting with a hook instead of trying to start out with, welcome to whatever day it is. I actually just start out with the hook for that day and do the reel and get it done. And I've gotten more comments and shares since I started doing that.
That is fantastic. And I like that little hint about starting with a hook. Can you give us an example of a hook? I know you kind of said it, but instead of saying, well, here I am, welcome everybody.
Well, at first I was saying something like, "Welcome to Wednesday Wins," or "Welcome to today is In the Thick Thursday." So I'd be like, "Welcome to In the Thick Thursdays." Instead, I start out with like the line that I really want you to learn about today. Like, for instance, like I think today was like argue about arguments, I think. And I said something like meaningful arguments. And I'm pretty sure people are like, "What? Meaningful argument?" I mean, arguments are meaningful, but they really are in romance. So I talk about that today, I believe. I think that's today's is meaningful arguments. I can't remember. But because so I grab your attention immediately when I say, the meaningful argument. So you're already like, "What the heck does that mean?" Right? So that's a hook.
Right,
That's
right.
an example of one of my hooks.
That is so cool. I think I'm going to use some of that for either in my blog posts or in email or maybe both. Is there anything that you hoped I would have discussed that I haven't asked you so far?
Well, I mean, we didn't really talk that much about fractured.
Okay, let's get
So do you
back
have
to
any
it.
more questions about fractured that you'd like to?
Yes,
Because that's what this is all about, fractured.
exactly. The fractured, I don't know how much you want to give away of the story because it's a rather compelling story. Did you, what kind of research did you have to do to get some of the bar scenes with the date rape drugs?
I had to do a little. It wasn't a very extensive, because it's on the news. The date rape drugs are all over the news. But I wanted to find one that was pretty fast acting, which a lot of them are. So that's I kind of just like tinkered around with it, and I'm pretty sure I'm on somebody's FBI list somewhere. They're probably like, "We got to keep an eye on Miss Anthony. Where's it? She researches murder and poison and all kinds of stuff, So I'm pretty sure they're probably, monitoring my computer as we speak. But it wasn't very extensive, not with that. I think I did more research on Sam's karate training than I did on the date rape drugs.
Oh, I was going to just start to ask about that because I didn't know if you actually had done karate or not, because I know several people that do, and it seemed pretty accurate to me.
Yeah, no, I don't. I wish. No, I don't do karate. I don't know very much actually personally about it. Thank God my editor did, because I think he is a brown or a black belt, something like that. I can't remember. But there was a couple things that he helped me with. But I did do some research, especially on the katas, because I was really excited. I was like, ooh, I want her to do kata, you know, and you know, plus she's legally blind, so you know, she's you know, katas are pretty sharp knives. They're not really swords. They're more knife than sword, but they're long. They're not short sword, you know, short knives. They're long knives. And
Right.
so which I guess they would be considered swords. I don't know. But I can't remember. It's been a while since I did the research, but I think they're knives. They're considered knives in in karate. And so you know, I did a lot of research about that, and it was fun because and fascinating because you know a lot of people don't realize that karate is definitely an art of meditation. You know, of course you use it in defense of yourself, but primarily it's meant to be meditation. So it's and so the katas, of course, is in a deeper form of meditation. So it's really, you know, it was really fascinating for me.
That is super fascinating. I know for myself, I did not know it was viewed as a form of meditation. Do you introduce any characters that'll be in subsequent books? Do you introduce them in this book? How do you, yeah?
Yes. For instance, Ava is Sam's best friend, and Knox is Sai's best friend and battle buddy, and they call each other brothers. Ava and Knox's book is next, and their book is called Friction. It's coming out soon, hopefully. And then Fox is in that book, and Fox's book is number four. And I haven't decided if I'm going to give Rogers a book, but he's on my radar. So, and you meet all of them in book one.
Oh, okay. So you do that deliberately because you wanted to set up a sequence, or did they just show up and then you decided to do the sequence? How does that work?
I don't know how it works for other authors, but for me, what happened in they showed up, and Knox and Ava had such chemistry in book one that I was like, oh, I gotta do a book for them. So that's how I ended up with book two. And so you know, that you don't meet the couple, well, actually the female for book three until Friction. You meet her in Friction, and you don't meet her love interest until her book. But you do meet Fox in book one, and his book is book number four. So, you know, eventually I was like, oh, I gotta do a book for Fox. So yeah, you know, I got to know the characters, and I really enjoyed having them around and having them in my head. And so they were like, excuse me, I want a book too. So, you know, so that's how I ended up right now I have five books in my head. So,
Okay.
yeah.
I was just going to ask, how do you know how many books to make for the series? How do you know when it'll be done and time to move on to a different series or a different set of books?
In truth, I honestly don't know. Right now, like I said, I have in my head, I have four more books, actually. You know, I say five books in my head because book one is already out, but I have up to book five in my head for the series. And then of course there's the cursed, you know, the my romanticy series. And I'm gonna be working on that. I'm trying to put that out this year. So and I think that one's more of a trilogy because The Circle is already on Amazon. And then there's The Cursed, which I've broken into a trilogy. And then there's The Convicted, which I've broken into a trilogy as well. So, and then I have a spin-off series in my head for that one. So
Wow, you are a
I have a lot of work
you're a very busy author.
to do.
Do you, how do people get a hold of Fracture? You've already got it out there into the wild blue yonder. How do people get that book?
Right now you can purchase it as an ebook on Kindle, either the Kindle store, or you could do the Kindle Unlimited, which if you have a Kindle Unlimited account, the book is free. And I just ask you to please leave a review. And if you want to purchase it as a paperback, you can get it from you can get it from Amazon as well. I'm going to probably take it off of Kindle Unlimited soon so that I can publish it elsewhere so that it can be more widely purchased, so it won't just be in the Amazon store. So, if you want to read it for free and you have a Kindle Unlimited account, you might want to go grab it because I'm probably going to take it off of there in a few months. Probably when I put out Friction.
Okay, that's good to know. That's very good to know. Are you going to do you self-publish or do you publish through a traditional publisher?
I am self-published. All of my books are self-published. The Circle, Dark Brilliance, and Fractured are all self-published, and Friction will be coming out as soon as I can get it edited. Well, finished and then edited.
Right.
And all that jazz. So, yeah. I'll be
Is
self-publishing it.
there a particular reason you chose self-publishing over traditional publishing?
I don't like being rejected. And that's like my knee-jerk reaction. I don't like being rejected, but in truth, I like the I also like the ability to have control over my cover and to have a say in a lot of the things that I want to do. So yeah, I mean, some publishers might let me do things the way I want to do them, but I've heard some horror stories and I've heard some pretty good stories. So but primarily querying is awful, and I'm not very good with that. So I mean, the rejection, not really. I mean, I can write a query letter. I just don't like hearing no.
Oh, that is for sure. I recently came to meet an author who sent out 300 query letters before she found a traditional publisher. And she said that, and she's authoring this book with another author, so there's a co-author, and it certainly made a difference, she said, to have someone there to say, nope, we can do it. And when the other person was like, oh, we'll never get to it, and like, nope, we can do it, and just helping each other out like that, which you and I know that pretty good, because
We do a really good job together.
yes, absolutely. How much more time do I have to ask questions? Because I want to give the audience time to ask questions as well. Annie, could you tell me?
Sure. Yeah, we're a little over.
Okay.
So I didn't want to interrupt. But we usually we go to the top. So we have probably another 15 or 20 minutes. And I want to get some questions from the audience. And if you don't mind, that would be
Absolutely, this would be a good time.
okay. All right. So if anybody has a question for Nell, just say your name, unmute, say your name, and ask your question. We're not going to raise hands tonight because I'm moderating from my phone and it's a little difficult to do that. So who
Okay.
would like to ask Nell a question? And
Okay.
thank you, Victoria. That was a wonderful interview.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Victoria.
I'm going to be first. Nell, hi, this
Hi,
is Deb.
Deborah.
And hello, Victoria. Wonderful job. Nell, of course, I love everything you do. I love your romantic stories and your poetry and all of that. And I did get an opportunity to read Fractured. It was so exciting and so interesting. And I really loved it. And I was like, man, I can't wait to read the next book. And I think I always try, I'm so interested in, with the idea of how much when you have a visually impaired person in the story, how much, I guess, independence, or did you think about the independence, or who did you base the character of Sam on? Where did you get the idea? I know because I'm a visually impaired person, you are as well, but how much did you want to give her, or who did you base that character on in the story? Because she was quite phenomenal, slinging knives and doing karate and all kinds of things. I mean, it was really exciting. So I enjoyed it, and much success with the furtherance of your other books from this series.
To be honest, initially a lot of her independence was based on me. When I was younger, I was a lot more independent than I am now. Because I mean, I was very high partial, and as you could tell, Sam is a very high partial. She could see his eye color, and she could see his facial expressions, which I can no longer see anymore. So I based that part of her off of what I was capable of when I was actually, I think, her age. So, which I think she's in her 20s, if I remember correctly. I was one of those people that I went anywhere I wanted to go. I would walk, I would go everywhere. And I'd be like, don't touch me. I got it. Yes. I'm still like that, by the way. But that's kind of what I based her independence on is, I had a friend in North Carolina. It was a male, and he took Aikido. And he took Aikido, and he was very proficient in karate and different forms of karate. So that's where I got that part from. I got that from Jason. So there's little pieces of different people there. So
All right. Thank you. Great job, and much more.
thanks.
And now this is Tony Candela. How are you?
I'm well, and you? Hi, Tony.
Hey, God, I got 1,000 questions, but I'll just ask just one question. I'm curious as to, because you don't sound like you're that far away from when you took your MFA. But I'm like an uneducated writer. I don't have any formal education in writing. But how much would you recommend more formal education? At least taking some courses, maybe taking the master's degree in fine arts. How does education weigh into your skill in writing?
I would say that if you want to learn, I wouldn't say go all the way through the whole MFA thing. If especially if you're not really committed, but if you want to take some courses, I say go for it, because anytime you practice, you are getting education. The more you write, the more your writing improves. And the more you write, the more creative you become. Like, I noticed that since I've been writing my novel, I'll have to actually stop in the middle of my novel, go take notes for another novel, and come back to start writing on my novel again. So that creativity, it sparks more creativity.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Anyone else? Oh, it's Annie. I got a question for you. So going back to what Tony asked, I want to get a little bit more clarity. Like what did you find that helped you the most in terms of, like, think about the last couple of years and the workshops you've been to and stuff like that. Does anything stand out to you that you'd like to tell us about?
I think primarily learning the mindset thing, like being able to, because a lot of times, we're writers and we write, but we don't think about the mindset. Like, for instance, when I say mindset, what I'm talking about is, like, for me, for a long time, my confidence in my writing was very low. And even though, even now, I still get the, every now and then I'll be writing on friction, and I'm like, no one's gonna want to read this book. You get that little
That
naysayer in the,
imposter syndrome
yes, in the
thing
back of
coming
your
out.
brain. Yes. And so, but the mindset techniques, like, remembering that you are a writer and that your first draft doesn't have to be perfect. You're writing your first draft so you can get it out, and then once you get it out, you get to go back and correct the bad things, or fix things, or even like enhance things, So, perfection is not what you're after in a first draft. You're not really after perfection at all, but you are trying to create something that you want people to enjoy, and leaving mistakes in can possibly distract them. But leaving mistakes in while you're drafting your first draft is what it's all about. So, you have to remind yourself. I have to remind myself of that anyway.
Oh, thank you. That's
Go
a
ahead.
great answer. Mindset is important. Deanna, do you have a question? You don't have to raise your hand. Just ask your question.
Well, I was thinking about her instructions to him about he's supposed to hold the handle of the cart and tow it. And I've never tried to tow a shopping cart by the handle. I've always done it by the front. So I was just wondering, is that a technique you've used before?
Oh no, like she holds onto the handle at the front, and he's holding onto the back of the buggy and pulling it, and she's walking with her
Yeah,
hands on it.
It what confused me was I don't think of the cart's front being where the handle is. I was doing it because it's easy to tow a shopping cart like with my right hand and keep it slightly to my right and walk with my guide dog because those front wheels move different directions easily, but the back wheels are more, they follow the front, but they don't, they're not, because I used to pull a stroller backwards, and that was
I've
tricky.
done that too.
Yeah, but I've never tried to pull a cart behind me by the handle. I didn't.
Oh no. She's holding on to the handle, and he's pulling
The cart from the
the
front,
cart.
yeah. Yeah, because it
Sorry
moves
about
so much
that.
easier that way. So
Okay.
I just didn't think of it as the front of the cart.
Oh wow, yeah.
Okay,
Is it
that was my,
tomato, tomato?
yeah,
And
it's
I
just
also
my
think
confusion about
it might be a
techniques
regional
'cause
thing too, because like a lot of people, like I have a friend who always tells me it's not a buggy, Nell. She picks at me for calling it a buggy.
Shopping
This is
cart,
Sherry.
trolley.
All right.
Sherry. Sherry wanted to ask him. There she
Hey,
is.
Nell.
Hey.
I when you started talking about that cart, it reminded me of a couple of times when we've gone shopping and somebody's pulling the cart like that, and we're holding on. And I was thinking that when he talked about the blind guy, and he's got to hold on to him, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we've done shopping. We don't hold on to the person, we hold on to the cart. So that was funny when you came up with that part. And I just I really enjoyed your reading of it too. And
Thank
you know,
you.
I've always been asking, well, when's it going to get on board so I can tell all my friends about it? But I understand you need to have it out there first, but I'll be so excited when that does happen. And it's already got me excited and wanting to read that book. I think
Thank you.
I bought one of them,
And I'm not sure if I bought that one. I'm going to have to get that one too and have you sign it for me. But
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to it. And
You
it, a lot of
can
that stuff sounds like it's stuff that, it just it makes it exciting to know that other people can learn about some parts of our lives and what we go through.
Thank you, Sherry.
And now this is Tony. I studied to be a psychologist. I worked with Vietnam era veterans with post-traumatic stress. That's how old I am, by the way. But you did a good job with the PTSD part of that character. Just wanted to let you know that.
Nice. Thank you.
Welcome.
Nell, this is Sally. I don't have a question, it's more of a comment. I really like the way you just wove Sam's visual impairment into the story. You didn't make her a blind character with a capital B. She was just somebody who was blind and went on with her life.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sally.
All right. We're getting to the top of the hour here. I believe Lisa might have something to say about Behind Our Eyes before we close out. Lisa, are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All righty.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Nell, on your
Thank
book.
you.
And I loved hearing the first chapter. I haven't read the book yet, but I am actually in a group that's reading Friction, so I'm enjoying that. I just wanted to say, for those of you who are a part of Behind Our Eyes, I certainly hope you will join us on Sunday for our 20th anniversary. We have been around for 20 years. Isn't that cool? Anyway, I hope you all come. We've got an exciting program planned for you. For those of you who don't know much about Behind Our Eyes, you can go to the website, www.behindours.org, and learn about all the programs we have. We have a reader's workshop. We have exchange classes for free, writer's exchange classes for free. Nell incorporated a couple new things for us. One is Writing Fridays, where you go and you write. After you've been together, you kind of say what you want to write, and then you come back and talk about what you've accomplished. And there's submission parties where you go and you say what you're going to submit, and then do that, and then come back and congratulate each other. And then we're having in April we have a poetry. Every day, someone gives a prompt, or there's prompts for people who want to write for National Poetry Month. I don't have my list in front of me, so I am going to forget things. We have a Magnets and Ladders, our magazine, that comes out twice a year. We have three anthologies, and we're working on a fourth anthology. Now I'm okay. What have I missed? I know I missed something.
We have membership meetings and special events.
Yes, we have those. And sometimes we have speakers, sometimes we have workshops, sometimes we have critique sessions. Okay, so I hope you will all come back and join us. And thank you very much. And Annie and Linda, thank you for doing the Zoom
You're
part of
welcome.
the program. And Nell, again, congratulations. And I hope everyone has a good evening.
Congratulations, Nell.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Nell.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right, everybody. I'm going to end the meeting. Have a good
All
night,
right.
everyone. Take
Good
care. Good
night.
Great
Night.
job. All right.